any more serious trace speedy, but they throw such killer parties. Killer parties almost kill me. Killer parties almost kill me.
Welcome to the Hood Rat Recap. This is the podcast where we talk about the live shows from the Hold Steady, a little group we call the Hold Steady. And you heard, Gasper, you kind of heard Killer Parties playing there in the intro, a live version. And that's kind of funny because at first we called this podcast Killer Podcast Almost Killed Me. And we thought that was a funny name until we looked, and I remembered that 90% of podcasts are true crime. So we kind of got buried.
That's a good point.
The name got kind of buried behind My Boyfriend Killed Me or whatever, or Who Killed You Last Summer, or whatever all these podcasts are called. So we changed it to the Hood Rat Recap. And you can actually go back to the last, we did an episode with Dave. And we called it, and in the podcast, you can actually hear me calling it the Killer Podcast Almost Killed Me. So that was our first mistake. Our second mistake was during the pandemic, starting out a podcast about live shows when we had no live shows to talk about. We did a little recap. I urge everyone who hasn't heard it to go back and listen to our recap of the Weekenders live stream show that me and Dave had done. But today I'm happy to be joined by Gasper. And let me introduce myself. I'm Mike from, hang on a second. I'm Mike from St. Paul. St. Paul must be the luckiest saint of them all. St. Paul had it all when we called. The St. Paul Saints waved me through. If Cheyenne's too small, we can haul it all back to St. Paul. I think everybody sees where I'm going here with this here. And I'm joined today by Gasper. And Gasper, you're from Queens, right?
Yes.
So why don't you just shoot off a bunch of Queens, Hold Steady Queens lyrics right there.
I don't know if there are any Hold Steady Queens
lyrics. I know, I played that joke on you. But that's all right. You're right next to Brooklyn, and you got the whole damn, that's where the band comes from. So you got enough. You got the band coming right from your town there. So you can go listen to them or run into them at the bar or whatever. So Gasper, Gasper's, he's been to all seven shows from 2021. We want to wish everybody a happy new year here. So we got a good recap on all the live shows from 2021. Gasper's been to all seven of them. Today we're going to talk about the three from Minneapolis. I went to the first show at First Avenue. We bought tickets, so there was some reason why I didn't buy the 7th Street entry. I think they were too, I can't remember, because these shows were what, from May of, was it 2019 they were supposed to be? Or May 2000.
Yeah, I think they were rescheduled a total like three times over the pandemic.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it was crazy. It was supposed to be for the 50th anniversary of First Avenue, and I think it ended up being like almost 52, almost a 51 and a half birthday. So let's just start with you, Gasper. So you're flying into Minneapolis. Now, I think you told a funny story about you had some problems at your hotel with your booking or something. Was that you?
So, yeah. The hotel actually, like, it changed. It was, I booked, I think it was the something blue it was called initially. The venue wound up being the same place, but the company changed. So, like, I got a little nervous that I was like, am I going to have a hotel when I land? And actually, the other interesting thing when I was checking in was, so, like, I've never been to Minneapolis before. This was the first time I've ever been there. And when I first got there, there was, like, all these guys walking around with cowboy hats. And I'm like, are they really known in Minneapolis for, like, the country music thing? And very weird, but it turns out George Strait had a concert the same weekend.
The same weekend.
And so all these, all these people were walking around with cowboy hats. I kind of thought they were like Minnesota Cowboys for a little bit.
That's yeah, and I'm a lifelong Minnesotan, and I can tell you I don't own a cowboy hat. So that was I think that was due to the George Strait concert was the same night, yeah, or same weekend. Okay, so you must have been, were you staying at the Hotel Blue at the Mall of America? Is that who were you supposed to stay at?
I guess it's like right, no, not at the Mall of America. It's on oh geez, it's right down the block from the Mary Tyler Moore statue. It's literally a block and a half from the First Avenue venue.
Okay.
So it's got a new name now. I can't remember the name of it.
Okay.
It was like a Marriott, or not a Marriott. It was Radisson Blue, I think was the.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah. Now it's got a new name.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, and then it was, and I remember this was November 13th, but it was like unusual. Well, it's always cold in Minnesota, but it was pretty cold for that. Did you get hit with some cold weather when you came in?
It wasn't too bad, actually. I thought pretty comfortable. We didn't get much snow, although I had a great moment at Surly Brewery. I went to go visit there and took a picture by one of their fire pits drinking a beer, and it started flurrying. And I'm like, wow, this is like a postcard. Like, it's like one of my favorite pictures.
That's the Surly Brewery. They played a live show there, and it was... It was late October. They like 2 years ago. I saw the Hold Steady there, and I was front row. And it was like about 10, 15 degrees by the time the concert went off. And I remember Mosh Pit Josh came out and did his little, little bit, and he was wearing mittens and a full like Gore-Tex jacket and a winter hat. It was kind of, and then he jumped crowd surfed into the crowd. It was kind of funny to see him all dressed up like that, because it was an outdoor show, and it was pretty chill. I think they said it was the coldest, I'm sure it was the coldest outdoor show they've ever played. So
yeah.
Okay, so then we get to a bunch of us from the Facebook group met up at the Depot. Let's kind of describe this. So this was the First Avenue, and for those people that don't know, it's an old train station from, I don't know, 75 years ago or whatever. And it's connected to, we'll kind of talk about the 7th Street entry. It's on 7th Street, First Avenue is. It's got a 7th Street entry, which is kind of the next door down, or the next door down is the Depot, which is a little... I don't know what you call it, a cafe, restaurant that we all kind of met up at. And then you can actually walk through that. I don't know if you still can, to the 7th Street entry. I don't know if you went through that night, the second night, that entrance.
No, we went through, like, there's a side door off the street.
Okay. Okay.
But they're all essentially in the same building.
Same building. Yeah. It used to be an old train station. It was called Uncle Sam's. And then, like we said, 50 years ago, they changed it to First Avenue. Or no, 51, 52 years ago now. So what did you kind of think about that? What were your impressions of the venue there?
That's a pretty cool venue, man. It's iconic to Minnesota as it is, and especially to the Hold Steady. And it's just so cool to see even just the outside, all the stars and the names and stuff. I mean, I flew in, I think that was the first thing I went to, was to go take pictures of all the bands that I love that are on those walls. That, and then I walked down the Hennepin Avenue Bridge because it was right there, and that was cool. But and then, you know, you get inside and it's like they have the Purple Rain star, and like you're in the venue where they film Purple Rain. Like, that's pretty cool. Although it looks a little smaller than it did in the movie.
Oh, but, it looks smaller, really? I thought it would. I was going to say it almost looks bigger.
They make it seem like, you know, but it's a pretty big venue though. That's comparative to places that they would play in New York, I would say, because like Brooklyn Bowl is probably half the size of that. I would say that's probably closer to Irving Plaza by us. Is probably about the same size, maybe a little smaller.
Yeah,
but it's a great. Like, I loved it. It was a great time.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that you loved it. The funny thing, yeah, like you said, they filmed Purple Rain there. I guess when you go, and you can take excellent tours of this building. Purple Rain, you think of that iconic hallway in the back that he's always running down. That's actually a different building. They filmed that somewhere else. And then in Purple Rain, like the opening scene, Apollonia, she's looking out the she looks out her hotel window directly into at First Avenue, and as you know, there's no hotel there, so that was kind of cut in different too. But what's funny when I think of First Avenue is they used to, smoking used to be legal indoors back in the day, and once they stopped smoking in the bars, and that would have been, God, I think the early 2000s. The personality of that place changed it all. You used to not be able to see the ceiling. It used to be all smoky. When you look up, you'd see a fog of smoke, and now when they stopped smoking there, it just really changed the personality of the place. For you could see a lot better for one, and so that I always think about that, just how stopping smoking changed the personality of the place. So okay, so a bunch of us met up at the depot, and that's where me and you first met. And we met up with a bunch of the other people from the Facebook group, and then we went in for the show. And then we had two opening acts. We had Kiss the Tiger and the Gully Boys, if I got that right. Is that how you remember it? Do you have any? What did you think of those? Do you have any any
I
thoughts
mean, they
about
were pretty
those?
good. It's kind of hard because I was trying to think back about what I thought about them, and I remember thinking they were talented, but like you said, this was the first show back for like 2 years. It's probably one of the first shows. I think I might have went to one show in New York prior to seeing them. I think I saw Ben Folds in New York. So like, you're just so excited to see them. It's unfortunately for those two bands, like I don't really remember. I was so hold steady, but I remember them being good. I nothing really stands out about them though that I could think of. But I chalked that up to more like it's not the band's fault. That's totally because I couldn't wait to see the whole study is what that was about.
And I have the exact. I was going to go back and listen to some of their streams, some of their songs, just to. I remember them both being great. I don't remember individual songs, but I remember being pretty good. Part of the problem is then we had some celebrating drinks there, and I'm not much of a I'm not the typical Hold Steady fan, right? I'm not much of a drinker anymore, just because I work. I always have to be at work or something, and I always have something going on, so I never get the chance to drink as much as I want to. But we had a couple shots there,
We did.
and so we had so so it was my first time. I had a Probably drank a little more than I usually do, but it's a Hold Steady show. And like I said, I was still kind of putting things together when the opening acts were got together. So we were halfway. I don't know if you were with us when we were in the crowd. I think you were. We were about halfway back. And typically, I've been doing this thing where I go to the front row of all Hold Steady shows. I started doing that a couple years ago. And I so but the last couple I've been kind of halfway back, which I kind of like too. When you're in the first row, it seems like the sound is a little different. You kind of the introduction to songs, you can't even pick out which song it is just because you're so close, you know?
Yeah, I actually make it a point. I go to Massive Nights every year. I go to all four shows, and I make it a point of like, I'll do one show in the front row. I'll do one show like off to the left. I'll do one show towards the middle, and just to try to experience the show from a different spot in the venue.
Oh.
So, yeah.
I like that. I like that.
There
Okay.
is something to that. Like, it's you do get a different experience for sure.
Yeah, it's different everywhere. And it was funny, I looked at, like I said, this was the first pre-COVID show. You had to bring your immune proof of that you had immunization or proof that you got a test within 48 hours, I think it was.
I think it was, yeah.
And I lost my it was such a crazy night somewhere. I lost my immunization card. I was going to take pictures
No.
of it and show it that way. And, but I put it in one pocket. I had the ticket. I was like that guy in the Geico commercial. I took paper tickets because I like paper tickets. And I put those in the other pocket. And somewhere along the crazy night, I lost it. But I guess there's an app where I can show it in the future.
Yeah.
So okay, so I got the first. So then the Hold Steady came on. Oh, it was just crazy the first time in like almost I can't remember. Craig said how many nights it was, like
They actually
621 nights or
walked
something.
out to, I think they walked out to Looks Like We Made It by Barry Manilow, which was pretty hysterical.
That was
That
hysterical. They always do a funny
was
opening intro song or an ironic song, and they did Looks Like We Made It by Barry Manilow. They came out playing to that, and Yeah, so then and then I seen pictures of the crowd, and man, everybody looked like a box of Q-tips. We were just packed in there. I mean, you could tell it was crowded when we were there, but when they showed that picture, I was like, oh my goodness. We look like I said, like a box of Q-tips. And so the opening song, like they like to open with a lot, was Constructive Summer. The first five songs were the second song was Barfruit Blues. Third was You Can Make 'Em Like You. Fourth was Lanyard. So we get a new song right off the bat there. And five was Party Pit. And I'm Party Pit Mike. I love that's my song that kind of really, it wasn't the first, like it was like the second or third Hold Steady song I ever heard. And it really got me into the band. And if I could ask him one question, I'd ask him, why is it always number five? It's like its average spot is 5.2 because sometimes it's song number six. But I don't get it. It's like they don't bring out the horn steady for that song. They don't change instruments as far as I know, but it's always at number five. And I always want to ask them why is it so early in the set like that.
I don't, I guess, I mean, it's one of those songs that like it's a fan favorite for sure, but like if you're picking like what's your big single, what's your banger, like Constructive Summer is definitely in there. Barfruit Blues is kind of like a classic song that, the hardcore fans are gonna love, and You Can Make Like You is like another one of those. Lanyards is the new song. Party Pit is like that's for the people who, they love that record. That's not necessarily the single. It is a sing-along song. Like it kind of makes sense there when you think about it. Like it does look like they put a lot of thought into how they construct the set lists. And I can see that being the line of thought, but I don't know. That would be interesting to ask Greg about for sure.
Yeah, because I would love to hear it in the encore section. Obviously it doesn't have to be the last song, but I always get my song real early there, so that's cool. And then so Lanyard's at number four, so this definitely had to be the first time they played it in front of a crowd, right? I mean, with the pandemic.
I'm trying to, yeah, that, yeah, definitely.
They
Cause
played it on the Weekenders a bunch, but that wasn't really that was a small crowd, just their friends, basically. I
I'm
mean.
trying to think if it ever, there was a point before the pandemic and everything when they were first working on the record that they may have played it as like a new song they were working on.
That's true.
I don't know. I don't remember, but I made a point of writing down when it was like the debut of a new song, and that was one that I didn't see. I mean, I use the internet to show my hand here of where I got my info, but that wasn't indicated anywhere that it was the first time it was being played in person.
Okay.
Not sure. It might have been played. I think they might have played it maybe at Brooklyn Bowl before the pandemic as like, hey, here's a new song from the record we're working on.
That could
And
be
that.
right. You might be right. And they did play it on the Weekenders, this the live streaming. I think it got played the most. It got played like three or couple times. And I just remember that one maybe being played the most. Okay. So, but I it's definitely the largest crowd. I think we can agree on that. The largest crowd they played in front of. Okay, so songs 6 through 10 here. So after Party Pit at number five, then we go into Cattle and the Creeping Things. That's typically up pretty early too. And then here we go with another new song, Heavy Covenant at number seven. And then eight was Sequestered in Memphis. That always gets, that's their first big sing-along song they get going. And then nine, T-Shirt Tucks, which is kind of starting to be in that group too, I'd say. And then number 10 is Yeah, Sapphire. So what do you guys say about that group of songs
Yeah.
anyway?
Well, Cattle is one of my favorites, so like it's great to get that in the show.
It's a
Heavy Covenant, I've been waiting for them to play this song live because I think I tweeted about this when I was first listening to the record. It's got that beginning with the kick drum in the beginning
Oh,
and
love that. Just love that.
the wine glass on the microwave, and like you could just see it in your head. It's like I want to be standing in that crowd, like clapping my hands over my head to the kick drum. Like that's such a Hold Steady moment to be part of that, and that's exactly what happened. They definitely delivered there, and that's definitely the first time they played that live, and they brought the horns out for that too. Actually, that was the introduction of the horn steady for the weekend.
And I agree with you. Heavy Covenant, when I that kick drum, like I didn't know I liked a kick drum and an organ being played at the same time, but the way that song starts, I'm like, yes, please, can I have more of that? Because That's starting to be one of my favorite songs, to be honest. That's just such a solid song. I just love that song. And then T-shirt Tux that they played at number nine. I don't think anybody threw any piano keyboard ties at this show. I mean, we were kind of halfway back. I don't think we would have saw it if they did, but
No, that actually happens later in the weekend.
later in the weekend. Yeah, that's what I'm kind of tipping my hand here. We got to talk about that later. Okay, and then yeah, Sapphire, that's a personal favorite of mine at number 10. And then songs, man, we got a lot of songs to talk about here. Let's go. So 11 through 15, we got First Night at 11, then Chips Ahoy, The Weekenders at 13, Blackout Sam at 14, and Banging Camp at 15. So this is really a good set list right here.
It really is. I mean, First Night is just, you have to love First Night, right? And plus, they're playing it on the first night of the weekend.
Yeah, we should know they usually play that on the first night of a weekend just because Craig makes that cool little intro where he goes, "This must be the first night," or whatever he says, and yeah, yep.
Chips Ahoy is like, that's their, you know, that's like one of those songs that's your single.
Yep.
It's got played at every show. The Weekenders, I wish they played more of Heaven Is Wherever. I know you guys discussed this a little bit on the last podcast, and I love that record. I remember going to see them when they were touring for that record, and so I heard a lot of that. And now there's a lot of material, so it's hard to get everything in, but it's good to see those songs making it on the set list still. And Blackout Sam's a favorite from Thrashing, so
Yeah.
that's great.
It's funny to hear these thrashing songs. Those aren't the new songs anymore. The open door
No.
policy. So it's kind of interesting to see these. I know we talked about that on the last podcast, to hear these thrashing songs kind of find their ways into the set list. Okay, so then after Banging Camp, the next five songs. So here we go with another new song. Family Farm is at 16. Then we go into Massive Nights, Your Little Hood Rat Friend. We're getting into the big hitters now. And then Southtown Girls at 19, and Slapped Actress at 20. So it's funny hearing them playing Southtown Girls when it's not that far away from Southtown where they're playing the song from. So it's kind of a local song there.
Actually, I was at a place called Fair State Brewery, that is over near where the quarry is, and I was talking to a guy, this guy Jeff, who's actually in the group. He was telling me, he's like, "Yeah, if you just head down that way, you will find the quarry." He was, "But I don't recommend you doing that." I don't know what it's like down there, but like, he says it might be a little sketchy.
Yeah, and there's not much. I mean, it's the name, the quarry. There's not much. You're looking at a quarry. There's not much to see there. But yeah, Nicollet Ave, all the songs he mentions in there, you can definitely, anytime you're driving through Bloomington, that's a favorite. Southtown Girls is a song I love just because it sings about Bloomington, and in Bloomington in the old days, that's where the Vikings and Twins used to play. They actually built the Mall of America over their old stadium. So I always think of Bloomington in like those old romantic terms. It's actually just a suburb when we break it down, but I always think of it romantically, like I did when I was a kid, like that. So after Slapped Actress, the next five songs are How a Resurrection Really Feels. I guess. So we'll talk about that in a second. And then the 22. Oh, so that's the last song. Then we go into the encore break.
Yeah.
So
So they go to the resurrection, I guess, is at the end of the show.
at the end of the show, like the song says, I was gonna say that too. So
know what's funny is when you look at Slapped Actresses and Resurrection, like I remember that's how they used to kind of end shows before they started playing Killer Parties as like the definitive final song. I definitely remember seeing shows that ended on Slapped Actresses. So it's interesting to see that. I mean, it's still at the end of the set, but it's not the encore anymore, you know?
Oh wow! So I don't remember that. I remember, so they used to actually end with that. Well, I mean, of course, like they said in the song, they usually end it played at the end of the show. I don't remember. I guess I do remember when they used to play it kind of in the encore towards the end. Okay, so then we go to, so then there was the encore break, and then we come back with well five songs, which is really, I was
That's a
thinking.
pretty
Yeah, I was
packed
thinking
album.
maybe three songs, but they come out with five songs. So the first one is Certain Songs. And then we go to Stuck Between Stations. These are all heavy hitters here. Stay Positive, Entitlement Crew, and Killer Parties, of course, to end it. It looks like the Bandcamp version, or the, am I saying the name of the app right? Bandcamp? Yeah.
That's
That
it.
they got Killer Parties listed at 10 minutes and 23 seconds, which is pretty typical because he does the talking
Yeah.
section.
Pretty much. I mean, that's turned into a whole thing. Like they, and you wait for that. Like that's, I love seeing that at the end of the show. The,
Yeah. And it doesn't change much. I love it. Yeah, like you said, it's pretty consistent from show to show. Like, how do you, so you've heard it 7 times now. That little each and he changes it each night a little bit too.
Yeah, I mean, well, he's thanking different people from the venues and stuff and all that, but it's more or less the same, I guess. It's just become like the staple thing to end this that show, the whole station with, and you look forward to it. It's
Yeah, it just, I think it's come iconic at this point. And where he's the So Much Joy, and then he does a little talking. And I remember, and I was just listening to this in Bandcamp yesterday, and he when he's doing Killer Parties, he does he's like, he goes, and then we woke up in the Twin Cities, and changes it from when we woke up in Ybor City the last time he sings it. And
Yep.
that So that was kind of neat. Yeah, just amazing show.
Absolutely.
Loved it. I loved it to death. I think you could just feel the energy of the crowd, the big crowd coming back for the first time in years. I know, what else can you say about that first night of shows? Is there anything else you can add to it?
Was everything you wanted it to be. It really was. I look forward to the show for 2 years, and I wish I can go back and do it again because it was that good.
I agree. Yeah, it was just amazing. Wow, just what a great show. I remember I even during what I had to take one of the bathroom breaks, because that's one thing I usually don't drink during the shows, because I like to get my spot and I don't like to take bathroom breaks. But when I was taking a bathroom break, one of my friends Alex saw me, and he yelled out my name, and so that was just amazing talking to everybody on the way to the bathroom, and on the way back everybody was just so awesome. It was just such a great hold steady crowd. Just amazing to talk to everybody. Okay, so that ends our first night. This segment is called, I don't know if you can hear it here.
Certain songs, they get so scratched into our souls.
And I'm gonna cheat here. Usually what I like to do is we give a little, we talk about a hold steady show we went to that is just scratched into our soul. And I got a doozy for the next segment for when we do Brooklyn. It's like a two-part. It starts out in, I'm basically a character in a hold steady song in that, because it starts out in Denver where I'm on the side of the road without a sidewalk, and then I'm going through a homeless encampment, and then it ends up in the Brooklyn Bowl where I have a chance encounter in the men's room. So that's the next show. For this one, I'm going to cheat a little bit. This show was at First Avenue, and as we mentioned, that's where Purple Rain was filmed, and Prince is the only one. We got to talk about the stars more. I don't think we describe that to people that don't know what we're talking about. But there's the stars of all the bands. The Hold Steady has one in a great spot where you can take selfies. We all took selfies next to it because it's right at your face level, so you can take great selfies next to it. The only gold star belongs to Prince out there. And then you said you're from Queens, Gaspar. So that ties into my story. My wife, we're not married anymore. She's my ex-wife, but we were married for tons of years. She was from Queens, Brooklyn area. She went to Lane High School. Is that a real place? Is
Oh
she?
yeah. I know of it. I was supposed to go there actually. That was a rough school in my day.
Yep, and I'm sure it was in her day too. So
Yeah.
she's from Queens, Brooklyn area. And then so one time we were, her friend was coming in from Queens, Brooklyn, coming into Minneapolis. And I was looking for stuff to do, and I was looking through the old city pages, and I was looking at a scene like Prince was making these appearances at this club called Glam Slam. And I kind of got the pattern. I go, it looks like he's there every Thursday night or whatever. I got the pattern when I was kind of looking through it and stuff. I go, well, that's the night she's coming in. We should go to Glam Slam on Thursday night. And Glam Slam was a club that Prince, it was close to First Avenue. It was a little club that he kind of had ownership in. It was called Glam Slam. It was after one of his songs on Love Sexy is called Glam Slam. Now, Love Sexy was a CD. Remember CDs, Gasper? It was when you're playing them in your car, it was kind of hard. You had to kind of push the button to the song you wanted to go to, so it was kind of difficult. Well, this CD, Love Sexy, was a little bit more difficult because Prince, thank you, Prince, he decided to put the whole CD on one track. So when you wanted to get to the song Glam Slam, it was the fifth song or whatever, so you had to hold on to get that little fast forward button, and then you went too far, and then you had to rewind because you didn't go far enough. You'd come in the middle, halfway through the middle of a song. I remember the song Alphabet Street was the second song, that was a pretty good song, kind of a little minor hit, but that was the second song, so it was easy to get to. But I think some of the songs were like 8 minutes long, so thank you, Prince. It was really hard to get to the song you wanted to. But anyway, so the name of the club was Glam Slam. And so we went there. We picked up her friend coming in from, I can't remember if she lived in Queens or Brooklyn at the time, but she came in and we were like, yeah, we're going to go to this club. And there's a good chance Prince might play after hours. Because, I was looking through the city pages and I kind of got his pattern down. And I go, he might play after hours. So we went to this club, Glam Slam. We clubbed it up. We got to closing. That was back when Minneapolis had that. You're probably going to laugh, but closing was at 1 a.m. When bars and clubs would close back then. And so we're clubbing it up, and all of a sudden they come and they start tapping people on the shoulder, and they're like, hey, do you want to go upstairs for this personal event? And I'm like, what? And first I forgot. I'm like, what? I go, this is close, we're just clubbing it up. And I totally forgot. I go, oh, that might be why we came here. We came here to see Prince after hours. And I totally had forgotten at that time. We were just So then they send us, they go, yeah, you just got to go up these back stairs here. And I was like, what? And I look, and there's this metal detector, and this was pre 9/11. So like metal detectors in the clubs were a weird thing back then. So I was like, well, that's weird. They're making us go through this metal detector. So we go up these little back stairs. They're dark. And then we get up, and I think they were having trouble getting people to go up at first. There was like not that many. I get up there and there's not that many people up there. I think we were like the kind of the first ones up there. Me, my wife and her best friend. We get up there and there's not too many people up there at first, and it's this kind of this dark upstairs. And they're like, oh yeah, and then there's a buffet. And I was like, what? And I go, and I'm just, this is like when the club lets out how you're just famished. I go, I'm famished. I'm gonna go check out this buffet. So I go over there, and there's buffet, sort of. It was kind of like like when you go to a buffet at the church. It was on these old-fashioned tables, and it was in the dark. It was like candlelit or whatever. So you there's this I could see food piled up, and I grab a plate, and I could kind of tell, sort of. I'm like, well, I think this is mashed potatoes. I hope it's mashed potatoes. And I go, these are definitely burritos. So I grab a giant, and these burritos were huge. And I start, and I go next to it, and I go, oh, there's salsa, and I start piling on. I'm normally not a salsa guy, big salsa guy, but for some reason, I just start piling on the salsa. It wasn't salsa. It was I found out it was cocktail sauce. And I don't know if you've ever had a burrito dipped in cocktail sauce.
I have not.
I don't recommend it. I can't recommend it enough. It's not good. And which was funny is that never. I would say that never happened to me before, but within 6 months, I went to this restaurant and I ordered a burrito, and they gave me the salsa on the side, and I go, "Oh, great, salsa on the side here." Poured that on. It was cocktail sauce again. That's never happened to me in my whole life, and it happened to me twice in 6 months. So, anyways, I had this burrito ruined by cocktail sauce. But it was free food. I don't think the health inspector was going through because it was in the dark. Who has a buffet in the dark? But so I was eating all this food. We sit down to eat all this food. And I'm sitting next to my wife, and all of a sudden somebody pushes her chair, nudges, like, you know, they have to make room to get through. There's these tables are all tight together, and it's Prince. He's pushing her chair out of the way to nudge his way through. And he is a tiny man, and he look up, and he's wearing like a, you know, dressed like in a bullfighter sequenced outfit. He kind of looks like a bullfighter because he's tiny, and he's wearing the sequenced outfit. And he's kind of butt nudging his way through him, or like just looking up, like, wow, that's Prince. And so I'm making this story, trying to make this long story short. He gets up on stage, and he starts playing. And there's only like I said, there's got to be like maybe 30, 40 of us there. There's not that many people there. And he gets up on stage and starts playing music for us. And everybody rushes to the front of the stage, and I'm like, and it gets really crowded, and I'm like, And my wife and her girlfriend look at me, and I'm like, just go. I push them to the front, you know, the very front up there. And they get to the front, and I just kind of hang out in the back. And I look, and I'm next to this. I look over, and I see this woman. She's got to be the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in, you know, in person in my life. She's just like radiating beauty. And I realize it's his wife at the time, and I'm going to screw up her name. Was it Mai Tai? I think her name was Mai Tai. Mai Tai. Maybe. And she's just beautiful, and she was just laughing hysterically because she's like making this face like, what are these people going nuts about? You know, just kind of making, she was laughing about it, like, you know, it was just funny to her. So I just kind of hung out back by her because I was thinking maybe Prince would come back there and I could give him a fist bump, or, you know, that was just invented at the time, you know, do something new like that. And so he gets up on stage, and it's really late, it's after hours now. And he's like, we have this, Minneapolis is going to kick us out after, I think we have to be done by 3 o'clock or whatever. And he gets up there and he starts playing. And I don't know, he starts doing this, where he starts making the guitar say, do me, do me. And he's saying it like a robot. So it kind of sounds a little. Daft Punk, or it kind of sounds a little, remember when Peter Frampton would make that little talk bot? I don't know if he had a. Talk box. I don't know how he was doing it, but he was making the guitar was going, do me, like a robot. And he's like, Minneapolis, it's my birthday tomorrow. What are you gonna give me for my birthday? And everybody's like just screaming. And so I'll make this story, this long story short. My wife fell asleep on the couch because it starts to be like 3 a.m. and like one of his handlers comes and starts checking on her, and like, oh, she's just sleeping, like she's not, you know, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. That's what people do at 3 o'clock in the morning, they start falling asleep. So that was it. And then just to end my story, we ended up going like months later, maybe a year later, we ended up going to watch a little concert at Glam Slam. And like I said, Prince was one of the co-owners. And at this time, you go watch the concert, and everybody had their own bed. They were parked semicircle, so it kind of looked like cars parked around a drive-in theater. They were all kind of semicircle, these beds. And I was thinking it would be good for now because it was because of COVID. All the beds were like 6 feet apart, so everybody, and I was with my wife and two of her girlfriends. So I was like a guy in a bed with three girls there, and they have these clean. I hope the sheets are clean. We're just kind of watching the concert. It wasn't a very good concert. I think it was a view of or a breakfast in Paris or a view of Paris or something. It wasn't a very good concert. But can you imagine them having beds in this day and age now? Like having. There's no way they would do that now, right? No way. So that's my little for my segment. We'll call that certain shows were scratched into our soul. That's kind of my version of that. So sorry that was so long, but
Not for it.
So now we'll talk about. Now I didn't have tickets for whatever reason. I couldn't get tickets. I think I was afraid I couldn't get tickets to the 7th Street entry. But you were there, Gasper. You saved the day. So what were your, how do we describe the 7th Street entry? It's how, let me go ahead and describe it.
Way smaller than First Avenue. So it's like the basement basically of First Avenue, right? And
It's next door. I think it has the high ceiling, right? It's like the ceiling's the same height as First Avenue, but it is a really small room. I would.
It's a room that holds like maybe 250 people. I would imagine. Like it's.
I think
it's
that's pretty, right. Yep.
It definitely has the vibe of like when you're going to see a local band, you know, at a small place like that. Like, and I think that's when they were playing in the early days of Lift to Polar, and probably even the early days of Hold Steady. Like this is where they're playing when you're just starting out.
So, yeah, and Craig, awesome. Craig describes he used to go see the Replacements there, and this is where he also went and saw who's the group he describes in Heaven whenever when he goes massive. Well, who was it when he goes? Who the hell was the blue guy? He handed me a Hare Krishna path mint. Was that massive?
Oh, yeah. Is that I know he says he saw Fugazi there. He saw Husker Du. Does he see there?
He saw Husker Du there. And that the group I'm talking about was Massive 5 Seconds, or what was it? I saw Massive. Oh,
yeah.
Whatever he says in the song. He says it in the song. And he also said he saw the Replacements there. This is where he first saw the Replacements. And I know in a documentary he said he was at that show. If people want to see how big the 7th Street entry is, look up the Replacements at the 7th Street entry. And it's where Tommy Stinson... He looks like he's 14 years old, and the reason he looks like he's 14 years old is because he's like only 15, or he's the bassist, and he's only like 14, 15, and it's just an amazing show. If you watch it on YouTube, you put in the Replacements at 7th Street Entry, you can kind of get an idea for how big or how small the club is if you watch that show. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm bad at size. Is it like 200 feet by 200 feet, or is that too big? I can't remember how big the 7th Street Entry is, but...
pretty small place.
It's really small. So it looks like for the first 5 songs, they so awesome. They start out with Positive Jam. I love when they start out with that song. And then the second song is Stuck Between Stations, Into the Swish, Magazines, and here we get Lanyards again. So
yeah, they walk out, when they walk out on stage, they walked out to the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly theme song, which was kind of fun.
Oh, I did not hear that. That's actually the ringtone on my... That's been the ringtone on my phone for like 15 years, just because I don't like putting new songs for your ringtone because they get old right away, and then I don't like songs without lyrics. So I've had the Good and the Bad and the Ugly as my ringtone forever, for years, since they came out with ringtones. So yeah. Okay, so and then so we get Lanyards again. They it seems like they really like playing that song live, and they play that fifth here. Otherwise just classic, you know, Stuck Between Stations, The Swiss, Magazines, just classic Hold Steady songs. And then for the next 5, so we got Stevie Nicks at 6, we got Multitude of Casualties at 7, One for the Cutters at 8, and then Sequestered in Memphis again, and that's always played early too, that's at 9, and then I Hope This Whole Thing Doesn't Frighten You at 10. So there we get our, I think that's our first song from Teeth Dreams, right?
It's kind of rare that they play the stuff off of Teeth Dreams these days, which is kind of a shame. It's like that, it's funny when that album first came out. Like, you know, there are no bad Hold Steady records, but that was my least favorite, and that's grown on me quite a bit over time. And you look for some of those songs, and we really only get, I think, like maybe one weekend, or so.
That's good. But, yeah, that's right. And it's just because I don't know if it's because I have to rework Franz into those songs. Work the keyboard.
Although, so One for the Cutters is only recently back. And it's funny because, so I got a little funny story about that. When, I forget which Massive Nights it was, but it was just before the anniversary of Stay Positive, when they did that whole little tour, like a little mini tour to celebrate the 10-year anniversary of Stay Positive. And I went to one of the soundcheck parties of Massive Nights, and he was asking for a suggestion, and I called out One for the Cutters because it's one of my favorite songs off that record. Yeah. And he laughed, and he goes, we're not able to play that right now. We don't have it prepared. And ever since then, because they celebrated the anniversary of Stay Positive, that's been in the set like quite a bit. So I like to take I like to take credit for bringing back One for the Cutters.
It's all because of you, Gasper. You're the one that brought it back. Yeah, I agree. That's just a iconic song. Just love to hear it back. You know, with Franz with the keyboards is really a big part of that song. Okay, and then I hope So after I hope this whole thing doesn't frighten you, we go right into Denver Haircut, The Feelers at number 12, and then 13, Entitlement Crew, 14, Chips Ahoy, 15, Don't Let Me Explode. Well, these songs are just all huge. You know, every song they do now is huge.
The Feelers, that's the first time it's played in person as well.
Okay, I was going to ask you that. I think that's right. That's got to be right, yeah. Yep, so that was, yeah, The Feelers. Yeah, so they kind of slowing it down a little bit there. And then right into Entitlement Crew, Chips Ahoy, and Don't Let Me Explode, which is always, you know, kind of slow. So that's kind of the middle of the show there. And then song 16, we go into Spices. Is that the first time they played that live? Do you know?
I'm not sure, actually. Did they play it at first?
Oh, they didn't play it.
They didn't play the first time. That might be the first time they played it. I don't have that in my notes, but that probably is the first time they played that in front of people.
Yeah, and I would love to, I think that's their most, sounds the most Lifter Polarish of their songs. So I would have loved to heard that song. I'm sad I missed it. And then there's Hurricane J. So after that, we got Hurricane J, Knuckles, Massive Nights, and Chicago Seemed Tired Last Night. So it would be great.
Kind of cool to hear Knuckles at First Avenue. I mean, not at First Avenue, at 7th Street Entry, because like, that's one of the first Hold Steady songs. And like, you're seeing them in one of the first places you played at the Hold Steady. So that's kind of cool.
Yes, that's a good point. That's a good point. And then, so at song 21, we go into Your Little Hood Rat Friend. And oh, and then we go right into the encore break right there. So Your Little Hood Rat Friend ends out the, and that's one where they often end out the first set with that. And then after the encore break, we go into Constructive Summer, Hot Soft Light. I love to hear that in the encore. That's great. Confusion in the Marketplace, and Killer Parties ends, of course, ends. And it looks like they went 9 minutes and 33 seconds, according to Bandcamp. That was their cut of that song. Oh, so,
25 songs on an early show. And interesting, man. And that was an all-ages show, too. It was kind of funny because I went to go get a drink at the bar, and there were no drinks at the bar because it was an all-ages show.
Wow. All-ages matinee show? Is that how we go? Okay. So... Okay, so that was the first show. And do you remember what time of day that was at? Do you remember?
I want to say it was like 3 or 4 o'clock, about.
Okay. Before we get into that late show, we had a little segment here. Let's see if I play the intro to the segment correctly here. Maybe is it this one? And the Meatloaf to the Billy Joel. Yeah, I don't know if you heard that, but this is a little segment I called From the Meatloaf to the Billy Joel. And this is where you where we recommend a song that Hold Steady fans might not know, but it would really cross over good to the Hold Steady. And then I asked you for a song for a group, Gasper, that would work for this. And who did you give me?
So I thought about this quite a bit, and because there's a few bands that like I've gotten into because of the Hold Steady, but the one I went with was St. Leonard, who actually opened up the second night of this year's Mass. And they're a lot of fun, man. It's an interesting. So the St. Lennox is basically the project of this guy Andrew Choi, who originally starts off as a concert violinist and now is like a indie pop singer songwriter, and he's really interesting, man. He's Korean in nationality, but he's from Columbus, Ohio, and he's got this incredible delivery. Like, it's not the talk singing like Craig can do, but kind of hard to describe. Like, you'd have to hear it. It's like nothing I've ever really heard anywhere else. And all of his stuff is like that. He's got 4 records out right now. And they all, the way he does his record, they're all 10 songs. So he's got, his most recent record is 10 songs of worship and praise from the tumultuous times. But they're all of the titles are like 10 fables of young American, young ambition and passionate love, 10 hymns of American Gothic, 10 songs about memory and hope. And I think it musically it doesn't necessarily like sound like the Hold Steady, but the way he delivers the lyrics, the fact that the songs are very narrative driven, they're often autobiographical. He's a wordsmith like Craig is, and he's actually been compared to Craig in some of the descriptions that if you look up like Stereo Gum and some of these magazines and newspapers that talk about him, like they throw a lot of comparisons to like Mike Stipe, CeeLo Green, Stevie Wonder all over the place, but Craig Finn's in the mix. And awesome.
I agree. I heard the Craig Finn I'm glad you. When I was downloading the little clip, let's listen to a little clip right here so we can kind of give everybody an example of what it's.
And we were out at a bar up in Midtown. Jerry's feeling like chicken tonight, and he ordered some wings from the waitress. And then Jerry and I traded shots at the bar. It was the typical shenanigans. But where's Arthur now? Yeah, legendary tales from the work week, a strong mix of heroics and gin. I was drunk in the evening then, and that's when Arthur walks to the door. He says, I was just at a shiver today for the death of a good friend of mine. A towering figure in my early life, he was an excellent specimen. Hey, Arthur, don't look away, no need to hang your head in disarray. You know that it's just a change.
One more time, Gasper.
So, Arthur is at a shiver.
Okay. That was what song we just heard a clip from there, and I think everybody, you can kind of hear the Craig Finn in his voice right there, and I'm really glad you recommended that group, because when I was putting the clip together, that's when I got to listen to them, and I'm really excited to dive in and listen to everything that they have, and I'm glad I didn't download St. Augustine. That's what I first did until you tackled me and said, no, St. Lennox. Am I saying the name right? St. Lennox?
Yes, St. Lennox.
Yeah, so at first I put St. Augustine, which I'm sure they're a great group, a different sound there. but yeah, so St. Lennox is the name of that group there. And you got anything else you want to say about them, Gasper?
I would just check them out. I mean, like, songs to check out. If I would check out Authors of Shiva, Deliverance, Bethesda, First Date. He sings about Thurgood Marshall. He has a whole song about Thurgood Marshall. Like, that's just amazing.
That was something that Craig Finn would do, I swear to God. Yeah. That's,
exactly.
with his solo work, yeah. Yeah, so I encourage everybody. I'm excited to jump in. I just heard that one sound clip, basically, and I'm really excited to jump in and listen to their whole catalog. So this brings us to the 7th Street entry at November 14th, The Late Show. What time of day? So you just listen. I think the first show was like you said, 3 or 4 o'clock.
This one, 7:30, 8 o'clock, I want to say.
So what did you do in between? Go back to your hotel or would you go drink?
I went into the depot and had dinner and a couple of drinks. Hung out with some of the guys from the Facebook group, like Dallas and David and Lauren and those guys.
Excellent. Yeah. Yeah, and so, okay, so you went there, and then, so what was it like here in two, because I have gone to see the Hold Steady at the 7th Street Entry before. Oh, I should tell, I guess I got a little version of that. I guess I got another certain shows that were scratching my soul. Me and my buddy Alex went to a Vikings-Cardinals game, and for some reason, and then we went to the Hold Steady. He went to both shows. I went to the first show. We actually ended up running to the show to make it there in time, and he had to stop by his office. So the whole time we were running there, we were singing Hold Steady songs. So we went through City Center is over. Nobody, and we went there and it was empty because I guess City Center's over. No one really goes there anymore. And then we went through the revolving doors at the Crystal Court, and we made a scene. We didn't really make a scene, but anyways, I ended up at the First Avenue wearing And I didn't plan on this. I had planned on changing, but I was that guy. I ended up wearing a Vikings jersey to a First Avenue show. But I wasn't the only one because the Vikings game had just let out and there's other people wearing jerseys. I didn't mean I was going to shove it. I was going to put it at the coat check, shove it in my sleeve at the coat check. But I got so excited and I just ended up being that. I was that guy that wore a Vikings shirt jersey at the 7th Street Entry show. Okay, so this is the second show at the 7th Street Entry. And once again, they have a lot of songs they start out with. They started out with Hornets at number one. Cattle and the Creeping Things we see again at this time it's at number two. Asking for Adderall, I can't believe I missed that song. It's at number three. You Did Good Kid at number four. And Sequestered Memphis at number five. Do you have anything to say about those songs?
Great start to the show. I mean, I love Hornets. And, like, when they play Adderall, like, you can't help but jump around like a pogo stick like that.
Yep. Ask her not to get involved, to stay in St. Paul right there. So close. That's why I like that song. And then, I just love that song. And then their next five are Banging Camp. We see Heavy Covenant again. So playing it in front of a small crowd here. Stuck Between Stations at eight. Number nine was Unpleasant Breakfast. And then Party Pit. Oh, I guess I lied. Party Pit's all the way back to number 10 here. Yep. So what do you think about what was... I mean, I listened to all these songs on Bandcamp. So what about Unpleasant Breakfast being played first in front of a live crowd? What are your thoughts?
Oh, there's actually a pretty funny story with that. There's a guy, Mike, who's in the Hold Steady Positive posting group, and one of his buddies, I believe. Like, everyone was excited to do the Woos. Like, everyone you see on Facebook, that's one of the things they talk about. Like, I can't wait to do the Woos. It's kind of funny because Craig said in an interview somewhere that, like, there are no Woos in that song. That's a keyboard sound that just sounds like Woos. Like, no one's singing Woo, but obviously everyone's going to sing Woo.
That's crazy, yeah.
So Mike and his buddy were so excited to do it that they literally were throwing the Woos out after every line.
You can hear it in the Bandcamp recording. You can hear it. Yep.
Yeah, it's funny because you can see. I think Craig even got a little bit annoyed about it, but then he just kind of accepted, like, this is just what's going to happen. You know. So it made it fun.
I like it was Yeah, it made the song different. It wasn't that bad. I mean, it's a different take on the song, and it kind of worked, I think. I don't know. So then for the next five songs, we got We Can Get Together at number 11. And then we got The Weekenders again. Constructive Summer kind of in the mid-set here. And then On With The Business. So there we get our Teeth Dreams again. And then 15, we get T-Shirt Tucks again. So do you have anything to say about those songs?
Well, like I said, it's always great to get a Teeth Dream song. It's really become rare these days. But T-Shirt Tucks became like a definitive moment of the weekend. So there was this dude who, I don't even know who he was, but he brought a whole bunch of neckties that were like keyboard neckties.
Mm-hmm.
And he started throwing them out to the crowd and to the band. And like it just got made part of the show. Like Craig put on one, I think Steve, I think, wore like a headband. And, like, it's pretty funny. Dallas likes to tell the story a lot that so Craig throws the necktie on like while he's singing, and then when they left later on in the show, he wore it for the whole show, and he left and he come back for the encore, like he actually tied the tie correctly, like took the tie. Oh, if I'm gonna wear this tie, I'm gonna wear it right, you know.
Wow.
So it's kind of fun. But yeah, I think that's going to be a thing now at Hold Steady shows, is people are going to bring keyboard neckties.
Can you imagine being the guy that's the distributor of keyboard neckties? He's like, oh my God, my sales are taking off. He goes, Amazon just ordered another 25. It's like,
yeah, it's like him and the guy who sells confetti are just going to put an extension on their house now.
Yeah, they're probably wondering what's going on, but they probably think it's something they're doing. But yeah, so then after that, the next five songs, we got You Can Make Him Like You. I think that's the first time we heard it this weekend. And then Massive Nights at 17, Entitlement Crew at 18, Southtown Girls again at 19, and then, well, here we go, Crucifix and Cruise at 20. And then we go right into how a resurrection really feels into the encore break. So they played those songs in chronological order, the Crucifix and Cruise and Resurrection.
I love that transition. I've seen them do it a couple of times. I haven't seen them do it in a long time, so it's kind of cool to see that again. Like, those two songs almost feel like they should go back to back all the time.
I think I've only seen it live once where they've done it back to back, and you're right. It's just, it's magical. It's just amazing. Yeah. So then we go into the encore break, and then wow, they come out kind of a surprise. They come out with the hidden track, Parade Days, at number 23. And then they go, which is kind of a slower song. Then they go right into Your Little Hood Rat Friend, Stay Positive with Mosh Pit Josh. And then, of course, they end with Killer Parties. And then here, Bandcamp again has it listed at 9 minutes and 23 seconds.
Yeah. And Parade Days, it was cool to see that there. I feel like that song's about Minnesota, right? It's the, you know, the Queen of the Lakes. So cool to see them play that there, and you're in Minnesota, and it was kind of a cool moment.
Awesome. And then so of course with the 7th Street entry, they didn't have room for the Horn Steady, correct, on the stage?
No Horn Steady.
But we do get Mosh Pit Josh with Stay Positive.
just to that point, like to kind of give an idea of how small the venue is, like, you know, Tad always has his rack of guitars, and like, there's no room on stage for that like there is in other venues. So, like, it's literally in a hallway right across from the bathroom. And it's crazy. Like, there's Tad's guitars right there, you know? Like, so, yeah, like, that's how small that place is.
That is across from the bathroom. Oh, man. Yeah, and it's funny because there's barely, like, not Bobby. Galen barely has room. He's kind of stuck between Franz and Steve. Like, there's barely the room for the three of them on the left side of the stage there. do you agree? It seems like they're kind of...
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely the most cramped. I mean, they're a band that moves around quite a bit, so it's...
I once again just recommend everybody go look at the Replacements at First Avenue, or at the 7th Street entry, just to see how big that stage is, or is how small it is. So that is all three shows of the Minneapolis shows. What else can we add to it there, Gasper?
I jotted down just some statistics just to kind of...
Oh, yes, I wanted to hear these.
So basically, they play 76 songs over the course of all three shows. So there's two shows with 25 songs and one show with 26. And they, just to kind of show like the variety you get in a Hold Steady show, and this is true for every Hold Steady show, 11 songs were played twice over the course of the weekend, and 8 songs were played 3 times. And these are songs that you would expect. Like, the 3 timers are like Constructive Summer and Sequestered in Memphis and Massive Nights and Hood Rat and those type of songs. And the 2 timers are like First Night, Chips Ahoy, Southtown, Resurrection, which, I mean, honestly, like, Chips Ahoy is a song you almost expect to get it 3 times. So it's, you know, you're getting... They made a point of playing as many unique songs as they could. You get 31 songs played only one time over the course of the whole weekend. And wow. It's a testament to them putting together, like, they really are thinking about these set lists, and it's making for a great, great show.
Yeah, and it's amazing that they have 8 albums now, which just sounds crazy. But so they can really, you know, get so many unique songs or one-time songs in there. Yeah, like I said, it's just weird that thrashing's not the newest songs not anymore, and yeah.
Funny how it feels like it's still a new record, but it's not that new. It's been around for a little bit now, but it's,
yeah, you know, yeah, especially since they released some of the way they released the Thrashing Through the Passion, they released a lot of the songs. Like, some of the songs were like almost a year old by the time the album got put together. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah, they had put out the singles over Bandcamp and then decided to put it out all together as a collection. So. It's funny because if you bought the singles along the way, it almost doesn't feel like a record, but it is. You know, it's a full release from them.
Yeah, I was really wrong on that. I'm like, at the time I was like, every group should do this with streaming. Every group should just release 2 or 3 songs. I go, albums are dead, you know. And then but now when I hear Open Door Policy, I go, oh, maybe I was wrong, because I really like Open Door Policy as an album.
I really like that. So they have a good way of rethinking the business model of music, you know what I mean? And, yeah. And they're pretty innovative with it. It. You see with everything they do, like these little residencies that they play all over, you know, the world, really, because they're playing England, they're playing Australia, but they're playing all throughout the United States. And like having the fans come to them, like it's made them able to extend the life of the Hold Steady. And like the way they release the music, like they've done Bandcamp, they've done Pledge Music. Now the recent thing they're doing is the live shows over Nugs. You know, that's really cool. And you don't see a lot of other bands doing that. I hope to see more bands doing that, because I think it's a better business model. You know, it keeps the fans happy, and hopefully they stick around a long time, you know.
I couldn't agree, and you know, like the fan base is getting older, and so it makes it, when you have families and like what you did at Minneapolis, it just makes it easier to travel in, see a bunch of shows in a row, you know, instead of going one show in Cincinnati, one show over here, one show over there, you know, it just makes it so great for the fan experience, I think.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, so that's our Minneapolis shows. Kind of a longer episode here, but we had to get it all in. And we're gonna, you know, stay tuned, because we're gonna have the Brooklyn. Gasper went to all four shows at Brooklyn, so we're gonna do that episode next. So that should be dropping really soon here. And I would just like to wish everybody a happy new year, and wish you a happy new year, Gasper. And what do you want to close with? Do you have anything to close with?
You know, one other thing to mention that I thought was very cool.
Yep.
I could. The one of the cool things they do is they localize their merch at the shows, and there were some cool shows cool shirts out of this show. You had obviously the First Avenue shows with the star, which is, you know, a tribute to the stars of all the bands on the wall outside the venue. But they also had that Moby Dick shirt, which is the way it says Hold Steady. It's a whale of a band, and they have the picture of the whale. And I was told that, so Moby Dick was like an old venue that's not around in Minneapolis anymore. But
yep,
like,
Moby Dick's, yep.
Then they have the Golden Gopher shirt, which I of course, bought all of them. So,
we love the Golden Gophers, but we hate the drawn-out winters. Yeah, that's the line. Yeah, since I got the Hood Rat recap here, I got the star hoodie. So that's what I bought there. So yes, they were all excellent merchandise. And hopefully people can, I think you can still go on their website and maybe purchase.
It's still, you could order through their website. I just don't know how the sizes work, if they still have as many sizes.
You're right. They do run out of sizes. Yeah, because I bought the hoodie because they did run out of the size. I tried to buy the Brooklyn Bowl a couple years ago, and they were out of my size. So, okay. So this is the Minneapolis version of the Hood Rat recap. Hopefully you were all there, or hopefully you learned something if you weren't there, or you were able to enjoy it. And like I said, we have the Brooklyn Bowl shows going up. We got to go, as we're recording this, we have to go count in the Happy New Year. We're recording this on New Year's Eve, because that's just how dedicated fans we are, Gasper, I guess. So I'd like to thank you for doing this with me on New Year's Eve and taking time out of your work day. And
A lot of fun.
There
is so much joy in what we do up here.